So, we started this series, and I think it's actually very applicable about living ready because of the things that we see and are faced with on a daily basis. And it really does us well if we are ready and prepared for those things. You and I, as Christians, as Christ followers, as disciples, whatever you want to call it, whoever you want to say it, we have a distinct responsibility to be quick to share the hope that we have with others. As Christians, that is our distinct responsibility, to be ready to share the hope that we have. Because as followers of Jesus, you certainly should have that hope, and you should be willing and be able to share it. I believe that we should so internalize the love that we have for God and the love that God has for us that we respond naturally to others with gentleness and respect, trusting that God will make himself known to them. We should so internalize our love for God that it should just be a natural outflow. We should so internalize our love for God that our hearts are just automatically prepared and ready to share the hope that we have in Christ. It should be something that comes natural to us. Now, if you were here last week, or if you tuned in online, hopefully you remember that we started a new series called Live Ready, otherwise known as Living with Purpose and Intention. And this allows us to be proactive in life rather than just living in response to things, but being ready, prepared for it. And it seems like it gets harder and harder to prepare ourselves for what comes our way. There's so much darkness and evil that when we get it, it's so hard to be prepared for those things, but we must do our part to prepare ourselves for them and live ready. Last week we talked about how we must be ready for some tough times that come our way in life. There are many promises in Scripture. Unfortunately, one of those promises is that we will face trouble. I don't know about you, but I wish that wasn't in there. I wish God's word didn't say, look, you're going to face trouble. I wish God's word said, hey, come follow me and life will be just all roses. And life will be easy. I wish Scripture said that. I wish that's the message that I could share, and I wish that that's what I could preach on. But the reality of it is that's not what God's word says, and God's word does say that there is trouble. So instead of saying life is going to be easy, I'm saying life is going to be hard and that we need to be ready for it. We are overcomers through Christ who empowers us for each and every situation that life may bring our way. We also talked a little bit about what it looks like to prepare and ready our souls. I said if we're to live ready, we have to make our souls ready. And not just for the bad things. It's important that we're prepared for them, although, like I said, you can't fully be prepared for them because we don't know when they're coming. We don't know what they're going to be. But I also said we need to be prepared and prepare our souls for Christ's return. We know that Jesus didn't come once to earth, but that he is coming again. He promises to return for the eternal establishment of his kingdom on earth. We don't know when that return will be, so we have got to get serious about eternity, and we've got to get serious about salvation, and we've got to make sure our souls are ready for eternity. But number two, we also have to make sure that our hearts are ready for the day-to-day struggles and the triumphs in life which leads me to week two in our series of living ready, and that is readying our hearts. We have to ready our souls, but we also have to ready our hearts. It says this in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's kind of deflating. Doesn't feel good if I just look and say, you know what? Your heart is deceitful, and your heart is wicked, and your heart is broken, and your heart is no good. That's not easy to hear. The heart of mankind is not easily tamed. It's not easily understood. So it takes work, and it takes a process, and we have to be willing to do the work to make it ready, to be overcomers, and to be prepared. To help guide our message this morning, we'll be looking at several passages of Scripture. But the first one gives us a great jump start into the message. And it's found in 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15, and this is what it says. But in your hearts, set Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. That very first sentence, set Christ as Lord in your heart. But in your heart, Christ as Lord. Not allow him into your heart, or be a part of your heart, or share a part of your heart. Because a lot of people do that. A lot of people are willing to share their heart with the Lord. A lot of people are willing to allow the Lord to be part of their life and part of their heart. But Peter says that's not enough. This is significant. He says that we must allow or set Christ as the Lord of our hearts. Not just give him access to it, not just make him share it, but be Lord over it. That is the way that we will truly ready our heart. First and foremost, if we live ready in our hearts, we've got to get hold as Jesus Christ as Lord. That's number one. We have got to allow Jesus Christ to be Lord. There will always be other things, trust me, battling for affections, looking to dethrone Jesus from his rightful place of the king of your heart. There will always be something fighting for that place. But we've got to hold fast in our faith and revere Christ as Lord in our hearts. Now, I will tell you that when I was growing up, and I was a young child, and I grew up in the church, and I went through Sunday school, and I went through all of it, and I went through an awesome youth group. And when I was in high school, the Lord was absolutely 100% king of my heart. He definitely held his rightful place of my heart, and I allowed him to be there, and I actually invited him to be there. However, high school ends. Seasons of life come and go. And what comes after high school is college. And during college, Jesus wore out his welcome as the king of my heart. So I kind of kicked him off the throne of my heart. I still loved him. I still went to church. I still prayed. I still talked to him. I still gave some time to him. But he just became one part of many other things that I gave access to my heart. So no longer was he king of my heart, but he was just had equal access to other things to my heart. He shared space with some ugly things in my heart. instead of being the king of my heart. But you know what? God's a jealous God. And if he's not the king of your heart and he's sharing space with other things, it doesn't go well. He doesn't want to just share. He wants to be a top. And that's not because he's egotistical. That's because he knows what's best for us. I had seen other people go through it, and I certainly wish I would have learned from their mistakes. I guess I had to learn that lesson on my own. These struggles are very normal for believers. I think most people, the mountaintops, in seasons of faith, and also seasons of deep discouragement in their faith. It's all part of the process. And in the end, the goal is what we mature believers, that we would be mature believers lacking nothing, I should say. This process is what we call sanctification. And it's a long one. It's a long process. And when I say long, I'm talking a lifetime long. This idea of sanctification is one of a lifetime through a continual process of renewal and redemption as God works in our hearts. One of the reasons this process is so important is because from the overflow of our heart is what we speak. In speaking and using words are the primary ways we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our words and the things that we say, and if our words are an overflow of our heart, then we better have our hearts ready. Otherwise, we're not going to bear a good witness. We must always be prepared. Going back to the text in 1 Peter, let me read it again. It says, "But in your hearts, set Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." See, the latter part of that verse gives the reason why. Peter is saying that first of all, we must revere Jesus as the Lord of our hearts. But the reason why we must do that, because if we do that, then we can live confidently and we can live ready for the reason that we have our hope in Christ. But if we don't allow him the top place in our hearts, then we will never be ready to offer a reason for the hope that we have in him. So you can see the correlation here between a righteous heart and a righteous witness. If your heart isn't right, then how can you truly share the goodness of Christ? Because here's the deal. As believers, you and I are always bearing witness to Christ. Depending on who or what is the Lord of your heart will determine what kind of witness that is. We don't have a choice whether we're going to be a witness or not. Just by our day-to-day lives and our actions and the things we think and say and do, bear witness. So depending on the way we ready our hearts, we'll have a direct reflection on the type of witness that we portray. The Gospel of Luke says it kind of like this in Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. So if you have good things stored up in your heart, and the Lord is the king of your heart, then good things will come out of it. But then he goes on to say, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. And then it ends by saying this, for the mouth speaks that which is in the heart. This is the full passage that I was briefly touching on just a moment ago when I said that the overflow of our... In order to be prepared, in order to share the gospel in a righteous kind of way, we've got to make sure our hearts are right before God. And the only way we can do that is if we give Him access to the throne of our heart. That begins with the Lordship of Christ. But it also includes a day-to-day willingness to filter anything and everything that is coming in to our lives. Because if we allow too much toxicity and too much negativity and too much evil into our lives, what do you think will flow from us? It's not rocket science, is it? If a person only ate Twinkies for 3 meals a day, the body would become very unhealthy. Quite frankly, it would not be a walking Twinkie. We don't want to be walking Twinkies. It'd be very unhealthy. The same principle applies to us in our lives, in our hearts. We've got to filter, and we've got to be diligent about what we allow into our lives. Which brings me to my next point. We have to have guards, and we have to have filters. King Solomon, he was a pretty wise dude. Probably one of the wisest, if not the wisest. And this is what he said in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, above everything else that you do in this life, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. You can spend time in prayer. You can spend time in the Word. You can spend time worshiping. You can spend time serving. You can do it all. But the wise King Solomon says, above all of that, guard your heart. Why? Because it is the wellspring of life. From it flows life. From it flows death. From it flows encouragement. From it flows discouragement. From it flows anger. From it flows loving kindness. It all flows from it. The good, the bad, and the ugly all flows from it. The picture of a wellspring is an important one as we think about filtering and guarding our hearts, guarding our wellsprings. Think for a moment about the process of filtering water. So if you live in Gregory, you're familiar with the importance of filtering water. Because the water is not great. It's pretty dirty. It's got a lot of stuff in it. It's got a lot of rust in it. And it's just generally not very pretty. You run dirty water through a filter, which removes the impurities from it. And it makes it taste a little better. Makes it look a little better. This process allows for clean water to come out the other end, and it makes it safer, and it makes it cleaner, and it makes it taste better for consumption. We have the Department of Public Health, I guess it is, that comes and tests the water like twice a year. And they take it from the outside spigot, and then a few weeks later they send you this like report that's 14 pages long, and it tells you everything that is or isn't in your water and the percentages of it. Well, that's great. I love receiving that report because it's good to know that our water is safe, right? Because of the process that are put in place. And if they test the water and they find that there's things that shouldn't be in there, then they can get ahead of it. We can do what we need to do to filter it and remove it before it gets too bad, before it gets to a real toxic and harmful level. And those are the same things that we need to do with the things that we're allowing to flow into our hearts. We have to make sure that we put the proper filters and the proper guards in place. How can we do that? I won't go into a lot of detail, but we can certainly spend time in God's Word. We can spend time with close friends and counselors in the church body encouraging one another. We can certainly protect it and prepare it and guard it and filter it through prayer and meditation. We can certainly do that by trying to avoid things that we know we shouldn't see or hear if we can. Intentionally avoid them. Some things we can't. They just pop up. But certainly we can put filters in place that prevent us from seeing, allowing our eyes to see and our feet to walk in places we shouldn't see, in places that they shouldn't be walking into. All of these filters help make us sure that the things that is coming into my life are pure and righteous. Doesn't mean that I won't be exposed to things that aren't pure and righteous, but that I filter them out before they make their way into my life. I know that if I allow toxicity and negativity and evil into my life, then those are the things that are going to flow from my life. It's a simple concept. But like many other simple concepts, it has grave consequences. Even with filters in place in my own life, certain unclean stuff still slips by. It's the human nature. It's called sin, right? That's when the filters have to be cleaned. That's when they have to be checked. That's when they have to be reset. When we see, like, you know what? Hey, something has kind of crept into my life here. How did that happen? Oh, I see what happened. This filter was dirty, clogged. It wasn't working right. It could have been my prayer life. Maybe my prayer life filter was a little off. Maybe my time in God's Word was a little off and something slipped by. And I need to step back and say, okay, I see what happened. I need to clean that filter. I need to reset it, and I need to replace it or put it back in place and begin the process of filtering out the negativity and the ugly once again. So let's talk a little bit about the Garden of Eden. Anybody remember the Garden of Eden? Way back in Genesis chapter 3. I know you've all heard the story a million times, and I'm going to read it a million and one. This comes from the book of Genesis. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree, or from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruits from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." And the serpent in verse 4 says, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And we know that she went on to eat the fruit. I won't belabor this point too much, because like I said, you've heard the story. It's really the basis for our faith and how sin entered our lives. But in this passage, we see that the snake has entered the garden. And what is he doing? He's lying to Eve about what God said. He's deceitful. He's tricky, distorting truth, and asking Eve, "Did God really say?" Eventually, Eve capitulates the serpent's question, eats fruit, and the rest is history. And sin enters our lives forever. What mistake did Eve make? Eating the fruit is the obvious answer, right? But you know what? There was a big mistake that she made even before eating the fruit. She didn't have her heart ready. She didn't have the filters in place. Her heart was not ready for the lie. Had she had the filters in place, had she had her heart ready, she would have been able to call evil for what it is or see evil for what it was. But the mistake that she made was not eating the fruit. The mistake that she made was not having her heart ready to see evil for what it was. The issue here, or one of the issues, is that Eve didn't have the guards and filters running in her place, in place that she needed to protect herself from the lies and the impurities of the serpent. And I can tell you, it does not matter how strong you are, or how long of a believer, or how long you've been a believer, how long you've been following Jesus. If you don't have the filters in place, when evil comes, it will overcome you. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord for 25 years. If your filters are gone, evil will infiltrate. It's what happened to Eve. It cost her dearly, and it's been costing mankind ever since. Darn you, Eve! Why didn't you have the filters in place? Life would have been a lot easier. But if it wasn't Eve, it would have been somebody else. If it didn't start with Eve, somebody else. The same thing happens in our lives when we neglect to guard our hearts, when we neglect to guard the wellsprings of our life. Backing up just a bit to when I was my post-high school that I was talking about, and I said that I kicked Jesus off the throne of my heart. I was a lot like Eve. I loved God. I did. I allowed God to take residency upon the top of my heart. I even allowed him to be the king of my heart. But guess what I did? I failed to protect it. I let him go there, but then I didn't protect it. And when the temptations of college rose up, I had no defense. I had no defense. And my heart was easily overtaken by the world, and the world dethroned God. Again, this process of guarding and filtering is a normal one. You won't always catch everything. And you'll have to recognize when something has crept into your life that shouldn't be there. Something's going to get through the filter. You got to be willing to run the diagnostic tests. You got to be willing to listen to others. When somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, man, I noticed, you know, the activity you were involved with over the weekend. What's that all about? Man, I overheard you talking to this group over here in the gossip. Like, what is that all about?" You got to be willing to listen to people if they call you out and hold you accountable. That's not judgment. That's accountability. Right? There's a difference. And we need to be held accountable. Again, it's a normal process. We've got to be willing to do the work. And we've got to be willing to seek God over the state, or allow God to seek God over the state of your heart. It's far important to ignore. Our heart is the wellspring of life from which the mouth speaks. It needs constant attention so we can identify the impurities that quickly filter them out before they take away from life rather than become life-giving. Our hearts should be life-giving. Our hearts should pour out things that give life to. And if the wrong things are there, then they take away from life. They take away from our own life. And they can take away from the life of others because of the things that we say and do. I'm going to close with this. Living ready and alert takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. And it takes a lot of work. It's just the truth. It's not easy. But this is literally a matter of eternal life and death. It truly is. We're all busy. Most of us probably too busy. But carving out time to address these issues will pay huge dividends. Any time spent with God is well spent. So over the next week, here's the plan. Take some time this week to evaluate the state of your heart. And this is what I want you to ask yourself. Who do you hold as the king of your heart? And I'm not asking you if God lives in your heart or is part of it or shares space. I'm asking you to ask yourself, is he the king of your heart? Is he the lordship over your heart? Second thing is set up the necessary guards and filters in your life. What does that look like? What's missing? Is it prayer time? Is it time in his word? Is it time spent with other people in accountability? Maybe you can look at your life and say, you know what? I spend time in prayer and I spend time in God's word, but I have no accountability. I have nobody that's holding me accountable. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're like, hey, I have an accountability partner and I meet with them frequently, but I just realized I don't spend enough time in prayer. Whatever the case may be, think about it. Think about the filters that are missing and the holes that need to be plugged. And then finally, I encourage you to try sharing the hope that you have in Christ with someone this week. Just do it. Find somebody that you can share the hope of Jesus Christ with. Let the overflow of love and redemption flow from your heart and into the life of somebody else. Isn't that awesome? Let the overflow of the love and redemption flow from your heart and into the life of somebody else. Entrust the Spirit to guide your conversation. Entrust God to plant the seeds of faith in someone else. This is faith in action. And it's worth it. Be intentional about it and even ask God to give you an opportunity to do that. And I assure you, if you keep your eyes open, he will. The heart is the wellspring of life. It's too important to ignore. It's too important to just kick it down the road for another day or another season or a different time. It's time to ready your hearts. And it's time to start doing it today in this week. Because as I said last week, Jesus won't be away for long. He ain't going to be away for long. Look around. Look around. The prophecies that are coming to fulfillment. He's not going to be gone for long, friends. We need to have our lives ready. We need to have our souls ready. And we need to have our hearts ready. The wellspring of life ready. Let's pray. Lord, oh Lord. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we thank you for your word. Lord, our hearts are deceitful and our hearts are wicked. They are not easily understood. They are not easily tamed. And they can easily lead us astray. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us access to filters through your word and through prayer and through the accountability of others. You have given us those filters that we can apply to protect our heart. Lord, I pray that you would, this week, show us the places where our filters are missing or have become dirty. Maybe they need to be replaced. Maybe they need to be cleaned out. Show us the things in our life that have crept in that we might not even realize or know about, so that we can do a deep clean in our hearts. And then we can re-put the filters back in place so that we can do as King Solomon suggests or instructs, and that is, above all else, to guard our hearts. Thank you that you've given us the means to do that. Thank you that you desire to be the lordship of our hearts. And Lord, help us save that place on the top of our hearts just for you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Please stand if you are able, and let's just sing about our great defender.